making money, and I mean, that's capitalism. But there's a way to go about doing that. And it should be a way that is respectful to the people who were there before you. So, the gentleman said that we do not understand, and that's the reason we object. No, we very much understand. And we're peaceful people. We don't have any problems out there, never have. And we're trying to avoid that. Because if his venture is not successful, first of all, we don't want it there. Second of all, if it's not successful, we all know what happens when a nightly rental or a condominium complex is not successful. Then the next thing is to, well, let's do weekly rentals. And then the next thing we have are people out there. There's no rentals nowhere on that map. That whole map, there's no rentals. We are all landowners. We were there first. And I just want to, you know, basically beg the mercy of the commission to rule, you know, in favor of the people who were there first. And there's no commercial property there. In any of the gentleman's pictures, there's no commercial property. It's not zoned commercial. So we'd like to keep it that way. I thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. So, next row, do we have anybody that signed up to speak? Either of you two or next? Skip the next row? Okay.
Yeah, we'll just bounce around.
Well, I had a bunch of questions.
Sir, your name?
Randy Earhart.
Okay.
And I live over, if you want to expand this a little bit. Right here. That's my house. Now I know he was talking about having, I'm over there. Oh. That's me. He said that there's a giant gully in between here and there where they're going to propose to put some of these cabins and stuff like that. Well, most of the houses that are here, but right up against there. And knowing the property lines and the way it lays out and stuff like that, that's not a buffer at all. Okay, what he's talking about is a big buffer and stuff. That's, each one of these properties is about 1 acre, 1.05, 1.02 and stuff like that. And knowing the Kevin's house, Greg's house, Ed's house, everything right here is, that's not much of a buffer when they're talking about starting to put log cabins in here. He brought it to your attention. He says, well, it's the COVID thing that we couldn't speak to you and stuff like that. And maybe I should have walked around and, spoke to everybody and kind of eased some of their fears and stuff like that. You're on the Planning Commission. Sewage inspections, DNR inspections, topography maps, public water supply wells, all this stuff going on. When we came home from Kansas City from visiting my new grandbaby, there was something stuck on the windshield of my truck. And it says, oh, we're having a Planning Commission meeting the 11th, the day after Mother's Day. I said, oh, great. If he had been transparent enough, this has been planned for quite a long time. I don't know. I didn't go back and look at the maps and stuff like that to find out when the maps were drawn up, when the soil samples were taken, when the DNR was called. But we had gone through a public water well thing, and it took us 18 months to get the DNR to actually go out and inspect all this stuff and stuff like that. So I know, and I don't disapprove anybody trying to start a business and stuff like that, but he knew a long, long time before this what the plans were. I don't know, a couple years maybe. But maybe he should have taken his time and walked around and said, hi,
we got the bed and breakfast down here, and this is kind of what we're planning to do. Let's get some kind of opinion. How do you feel about it? Well, that never happened. I got a letter stuck on the front of my pickup truck 5 days ago. So we had no time to plan about this, and that's why 90% of us, and I'll guarantee you that you've got four homeowners here, you've got five or six homeowners here, and then you've got one guy that owns this piece of property that has an easement, and he's going to have to be granted that easement to get onto his property, because Leighton Bell talked him into buying their property, and he said, yeah, we're going to develop all that. So he went into business with him, bought the property, but now he's not landlocked per se, but there's an easement off of this road to get back to his property and stuff. So that's in jeopardy. Another thing that he brought up was the mailboxes and the school kids. My wife's a Branson school bus driver here, and this bus pulls in here two buses at different parts of the day, picks up all the kids from this neighborhood, and picks up all the kids from Hampton. They come down and walk down there. Plus Phil's kids here and Gary's kids here, everybody meets in this mailbox. Is there any kind of projection? Does this road that goes into their property have to be upgraded? Does this road that comes out is now a driveway with rental people and stuff like that? That's why they're proposing the problem with the school kids. And then he says, well, that's okay. There's plenty of room. We can move it around and stuff like that. And I didn't hear anything from the Branson School District saying, okay, you want to build a rental place here and the Hummingbird and all this other stuff? We'll just move your bus stop for your kids just because you want us to. No, there's a big, long, and tailed thing for going through the school district, going through the county, trying to figure out, does this road have to be expanded? Does Hampton Road have to be widened because of the supposed nightly income rentals and stuff like that that comes through the thing? I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that is. Do they have to get a hold of the post office to say, oh, we want to move our mailboxes? We don't have mailboxes back in here because the post office guy won't make the turn. So all the homes in here have post office boxes right here. So they have to pick the mail up. Does the post office say, okay, now we're going to move our mailboxes? Or does he say, I will just move the mailboxes because we got some room? This is barely enough room. Bus is 53 feet long, 40 feet long. He comes around and picks up the kids here, and that's barely enough room to get a 40-foot bus to do a circle around the mailboxes there. Okay, so we're talking about many concerns. We're talking about moving the mailboxes. We're talking about all our kids being picked up, not my kids, but most of the kids in the neighborhood, and they're all within first grade to high school right there. And there's a lot of kids right in that area. What do we do with the kids? What do we do with the school bus, Bob? What are they going to do with the mailboxes? How are they going to improve this entry? And as I said before, these cabins are going to go in here, okay? These are supposed to be nightly rentals. Within that 1.7, I don't know how many square feet, if you can pull that up.
Sir, you don't have you're at your 5 minutes. So okay. Do you want to, like, summarize or give a closing statement?
Well, I don't know. It says residential use, but the special use permit isn't checked off on here and stuff. Is this a commercial property? But the commercial property, I think, in the long run, like he said, it's a residential neighborhood. Once you start putting tree rentals in there and stuff like that, and if it fails, what do the tree rentals become? What do the cabins become? Do they become HUD homes? Do they put extended stay people in there? Do they put low-income people in there? I don't know. I can't answer that. But at the present time and stuff like that, I don't think it's a good idea. I think there's too many improvements. There's too many school districts, federal government with the post office, et cetera, and stuff like that. And just, it's too close to our East Fork subdivision. Okay, I can understand. I'm sorry to extend it, but I understand the buffer where this is a big, huge, giant gully.
Okay, but sir, we're at 6 minutes, so okay. I gave you a minute there.
All right.
So.
You can take my time. Go ahead. Take my time. I have my
ma'am, you can come up and speak if you'd like, but no, you can't cede your time to him. So.
If
So if you want to get up and speak, you're more than welcome to.
I appreciate you listening to me.
You're welcome. Thank you. Congratulations on the grandbaby, by the way.
Thank
also.
You. We're trying to get back up there. We had a meeting to come.
Yes, I got skipped on my little.
Yeah, absolutely. You signed up, right?
Yeah, oh yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Absolutely.
We're landowners and homeowners at 160 Live Oak Lane.
Your name?
And I'm Margie Clark. Our family, William and Jay Clark, our family.
Okay.
We have neighborhoods of lots of children and grandchildren. And this buffer zone that he was talking about, where he says you're very private and whatever in the back of those houses, it's a very small little gully. It just has a lot of trees in it. And you can just hear our kids, you know, that are going up and down Live Oak Lane. You can hear them right up at the cabin there and all up and down that road just when they're talking. And so you can hear them clear down on both sides for extended areas because it is a acoustical canyon area there. So it's noisy when a dog barks, when a kid talks. We know, oh, that's Kevin's kid. Oh, that's Karen's kid right over there, da, da, da. You could just hear them all over the place. It just resounds. So we know where our kids are, and we're all looking out for them. But the thing is it is a quiet, peaceful, safe dwelling place right now because we are family. We are all homeowners. We are all very involved in our government, in our homes, in our churches, and our neighborhoods, and our counties. So we've been established here a long time. And it's if you're going to bring somebody in with 15 dwelling places for rent, that noise is going to exacerbate tremendously. And who are these people that they're bringing in? Will they be safe people for our children? Who are these strange people that would come in here? And as it was pointed out, if this doesn't fly, since this inn has never been successful before, what happens to all of those buildings? Do they become low-rent district, and then we have these people in here that jeopardize the safety of our home and our children? What is this? We're paying taxes. We're homeowners. We're good folks. We've lived here a long time. This is a proven out, quiet, peaceable, safe dwelling place. So as citizens who care to keep this house and this home and keep this place healthy and safe for our families, we really ask you to look at this and see this has never been a successful inn here, sirs. And when they start building and they start planning for this, where does all that money that they put into that to ask for and to loan, how do they pay those loans off? Low rent district. Does it become that? Does that come that to our kids? You have children, you have grandchildren, you have homes. You're rooted and grounded here like we are. This is our home. We've been here for years. Thank you.
Thank you. Ma'am, you gonna come up? You sure? Okay. I think, sir, you want to come next?
Yeah, I'm next.
Sure.
All right.
Hi.
Hello.
My name's Dan Chestnut. I am both a homeowner and a property owner of the in the area. Can you blow that up a little bit? Okay, good.
I own this tract of land here. And I also live in the neighborhood. I live probably, I think it's this lot. No, I don't know. I can't see quite good enough. No, Donna, you're correct. That's off of Hampton. This is off of Yates.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm up for it.
Okay.
I'm like the second. I'm right here. Yeah, that's me. This whole, I'd just like to mimic or echo some of the other comments that have already been made tonight, and I'm in total agreement. Everybody's made very good points. This is a residential area. These are our homes. And many of us have lived here a long time. I've lived here since 2008. That may not seem long, that's 12 years. Some of our other residents here have been here since the